All right, today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 6 again. I'm going to try to finish it up today. Last week, probably my first statement was that, my last statement was that when you read Revelation chapter 6, you think that, or most people might think that this is talking about, at the end of it, talking about the second coming of the Lord. But when you read this thing, and unfortunately I've been guilty of not really reading it and trying to understand what's going on, this is not the second coming. I want to show you that today. But first of all, I want to go back and go over some of this that we went through last week. So I'm going to go back to Revelation 6 and verse number 12. And I want to start there at the sixth seal. And it says, I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. I think I went over this last week, but there was a great earthquake. And I brought this up also, that when St. Helens erupted out in Washington, that thing, it was like nighttime in the daytime, because that was a great earthquake and it erupted, and all that stuff in the air, it was just like nighttime. And then, of course, the moon looks like blood when something like that happens, when not much of the sunlight gets through to reflect off the moon. So there's what he's talking about here. So he puts a cover over the moon, and it was black. And like we said last week, this is a figure of speech. As. Now, let me just say this real quick. When you're reading the book of Revelation or reading any part of the Bible, a lot of people want to take the Bible. I talked to some people this week, and they want to make everything symbolic. And if you make everything symbolic, well, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. There is figures of speech in the Bible. And here you have one. Say it looked like blood, black as sackcloth. See, those are figures of speech. Kind of like Jesus called them wolves. Well, we know they weren't literal wolves, but they acted like one. Now, when that happens, then people can maybe say anything they want to and say, well, that don't really mean that. That's symbolic. So what most people do when it comes to the book of Revelation especially, they want to make everything symbolic. But the Bible defines itself. Just like I'm going to read here in just a second about the stars falling from heaven. Now, that is not literal stars falling from heaven to the earth. If it was, well, then the earth would be destroyed. Every time you look up in the sky, how many stars do you see? See, my Bible says you can't number them. That's how many there are. And if the stars fall to the earth, well, it's going to wipe the earth out. Because some of those stars are a lot bigger than the earth. Now, when it says stars in the Bible, sometimes it's talking about a literal star, and other times it's talking about angels. Do you remember what it said there in Revelation chapter 1 when it tells you what the stars are? It says very plainly that the stars are the angels over the seven churches. That's what they are. They are angels. By the way, that's where Los Angeles got its name. They took it right out of the book, Fallen Stars. What's in Hollywood? A bunch of stars, right? But they're not the kind of angels. Verse 13, Revelation 6:13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So, in Revelation 1:20, it tells you the mystery of the seven stars. So, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the stars here in Revelation 6:13. And the Bible always gives a definition of what we're talking about. Revelation 9 and verse 1, let me read that to you. And it says here, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star. Do you see that? A star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now look what else it says. And to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. Now this star was a him. Do you see that? And he was given the keys to the bottomless pit. So who is this star? You see what I mean? And he opened the bottomless pit. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about angels. And you'll note there in Revelation 9:1, they calls him a him. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, ladies, but there's no female angels. At least I never have met one. Oh, I've seen some hands go up. Well, at any rate, they just not. And the most famous picture, of course, we had this thing hanging in our living room when I was growing up, and this angel, and this very famous picture of this angel watching these two little kids go across a broken bridge, and it was storming and all that. Well, that's what they use to say that they have guardian angels. And this is a blonde-headed angel with great big wings. And everybody relates to that picture. Everybody's seen it. In fact, Betty got a bracelet, and I was looking on it the other day, and there that angel was. Oh, somebody give them to you. Well, at any rate, there's no female angels. Let me just throw this at you. A guy asked me the other day, I don't remember whether it was on the TV program or what, they want to know about when they got to heaven, was they gonna have a know their wife and all that. And the problem with that is a lot of people have had two or three wives. And when they get up there, well, there'd be a big fight if that's true. Do you think about that? So that's not what we're talking about here. In heaven, there's neither given in marriage or taken in marriage. That's in heaven. Okay, Revelation 6 and verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And so what he does here, he rolls back the heavens. Now, remember where he's at in this scene. Where's he at? He's sitting on the throne, and he rolls back the heavens so that these people on the earth can see him sitting on the throne. In Job, I'll read a couple of verses out in Job 26:7. He stretched out the north over an empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the water in his thick clouds, and the clouds is not rent under them. Here's a good one. Isaiah 40 and verse 22. If the people back in 1492 had read Isaiah 40 and verse 22, they would have known that the earth was round. And when they looked out across the horizon, that didn't mean when they got out there they dropped off. So old Columbus, when he sailed the ocean blue, he didn't fall off. He just kept going. But they could have found out if they just read the Bible, whatever Bible they might have had. In Isaiah 40 and verse 22, it is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Now listen to this. He stretched out the heavens as a curtain. So he put the heavens out just like this curtain. And he can push it back. He can roll it back. And that's exactly what he did here in Revelation 6 and verse 14. Now, here's a good verse. Now, remember what I'm trying to get across to you here is that this is not the second coming. And what happens is there is an appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens, sitting upon the throne. Now listen to this verse here in Mark 14, 62. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. You see that? He said, you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. Well, that's when he's sitting on the throne. Now, think about this. And then there's a comma there. And it says, and coming in the clouds of heaven. So there's an appearing of the Lord sitting on the throne to those people in the tribulation period. And then there is a coming of the Lord. That's when they see him on a white horse. He is not sitting on a throne. So here he's sitting on a throne, and they see him. Now listen to what happens to these guys. First, let me read Psalms 2 and verse 4. He that sits in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in delusion. So what's going to happen? They're going to see him sitting on the throne. Now here's what they do when they see him sitting on the throne. Here's what they do. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you see what they're saying? They say, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. And they want the rocks to fall on them because they see him in judgment. They see him sitting on the throne. And that's what that says. From the wrath of the Lamb, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you see here? He is not sitting on a white horse. He's sitting on the throne. And that's what we're talking about. Notice something else. These people, what are they doing? They are asking to hide themselves. What happens at the second coming? What do they do then? Well, at the second coming, do they not gather themselves in that valley over to fight him? What is that called? Armageddon. See, at the second coming, when he comes on that white horse and the armies of heaven come with him, well, they gather themselves in the valley of Ghetto over there, and they make themselves ready to fight the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. And that is called the Battle of Armageddon. It's found in Revelation 16 and verse 16. And gather them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. By the way, I don't hardly ever do this, but this morning I got up early and I turned on the TV and I watched Jack Van Impe. And Jack Van Impe's got a book out, this $29.95. And if you will order it, well, he's going to tell you about December 21st, 2012. And if you all watch the History Channel, I don't know when it was on, I hardly ever watch it, but it had a 2 or 3 hour program on the end of the world. And Jack Van Impe this morning said that the Lord was really coming back. He didn't know the date, but it should be around 2019. So if you take 7 away from 19, you get 12. So the prediction is that the earth is going to be destroyed in 2012. Well, you guys, I don't know if I'm going to be around that long or not, but if you guys decide you want to get rid of some of your property or money, why? Because if the world is going to end, you don't need it, right? Just go ahead and write me out a check. I'll be glad to take it. How many idiots have you heard in your lifetime that said the world was going to end so and so? Well, you know the last time this happened? 1988. I remember that very clearly. All the world's going to... I mean, that's when the Lord's coming back. Well, you know when the nation of Israel went back in 1948, that a generation is 40 years, right? So it had to be 1948. And then they had this deal about the lining up of the planets. You ever hear that? And when the planets got aligned, everything on the earth was really going to be tore up. Well, that come and went too. 1988 went. Nothing happened. 7 years later, nothing happened. Benny Hinn made a prediction that in 1995 that there wouldn't be no more homosexuals. And that come and went too. You got all kinds of idiots out there prophesying all this stuff, and the bad thing about it is, how many people are going to buy old Jack's book? There's going to be, I don't know how many, and people are going to believe that, and they're not going to believe the Bible. What I'm telling you is, I'm not going to be here. I know that. when the Lord appears in the sky, we're going up to meet Him. And we're not going to be here when the wrath of God falls. And another thing is, we're living in the age of grace, and what's different about that? There is no prophecy being fulfilled today. I don't care if they drop the building on us tomorrow. That's not in the book. And we're still here. But here these guys get to see the Lord sitting on the throne, and they say, hide us from Him. Well, because why? They don't want to see the wrath of the Lamb. He's getting ready to pour out the wrath of God on them. And they know that. These people right here have the mark of the beast on them. They're already doomed. They don't have no hope. Revelation 6 and verse 17. The great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? See, John is caught up into the third heaven. You remember in Revelation 4 and 5, what does he get to see? He gets to see the throne room of God. And then he gets to see what's going on. And then in Revelation 5, he gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ take that book and start opening those seals. And that's what happens here in Revelation 6. So that's what John gets to see. Now, John's body, where's it at? It's laying on the Isle of Patmos. But his spirit has been caught up ahead of time. See, John don't know anything about the church, the body of Christ. John's over here. He knows about Paul, but John ain't in the body of Christ. And John gets caught up completely ahead of time when the Lord's day takes place. And this is when the wrath of God is poured out. You see what that says? The great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? See, that's the wrath of God being poured out. And that's what John gets to see. Now, in the book of Revelation, I want to give you this. There's four accounts in the book of Revelation. What happens? Now, in the tribulation period, there's four accounts. Now, the first account, of course, we're talking Revelation 1, of course, is given the overall view of the whole thing. It shows you the second coming in chapter 1. 2 and 3 is talking about the churches that are in the tribulation period. Now 4 and 5, John gets to see what's going on in the heavens, around the throne. John gets to see that, and he describes that. So the first account, really, of the tribulation period is found in, starts off in 5 when he gets the book. And then chapter 6, the tribulation period starts with the riding in of the Antichrist on a white horse. That's chapter 6. And in chapter 6, you've got 6 seals open. Now, the 7th seal is not open until you get to Revelation 8 and verse 1. And the only thing that says is that this wrath of God is so terrible in the 7th seal that there is silence in heaven for 30 minutes. I'm not going to tell you what I've heard a lot of people say about the silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Well, okay, I'll tell you. There won't be no women there. That's what I've heard, but I take that back. I don't know whether it'll be silent for 30 minutes. I know it. I didn't want to say that, but I... But later on, I found out they were. The second account is found in Revelation 8, 9, 10, up to 11, 15. And this is the seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgments. The third account, of course, you know, we saw him riding on a white horse in Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Now, you don't really hear anything about him until you get to chapter 12. So, Revelation chapter 12, 13, and 14 is all about the activities of the Antichrist. That's what they're about. And, of course, the fourth account is found in chapter 15, 16, 17, and 18 is about the seven vial judgments. And then, of course, Revelation 19 is about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from now on, in 20 on through 22, is really 20 is all about the thousand year reign. 21 and 22 is about a new heaven and a new earth. So that's how the book of Revelation is laid out. It's laid out in four accounts of the tribulation period with a description of the whole thing in one, and then the churches, and then the description of what's going on in the heavens. So next week we'll get into chapter 7, and in chapter 7 it deals with the sealing of the 144,000 and what happens to them. So that's what chapter 7 is about. And then it goes from there back to the seventh seal judgment. Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming and appreciate everyone being here. If you got any questions or comments, well, I'd be glad to try to answer them for you.